Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with tech stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as is typical of days like this, yeah, Fridays, that would be senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
I looked at my notes, and I didn't like them.
Hey, was that a quote, or were you actually saying that you...
It's both. Okay. It's both a quote and it's true.
Excellent. Those are always the best, right?
Yes, they are. So today we are going to talk a little bit about robots. Before we started recording, I was talking about robots.
He was insisting on saying robots.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't think you would actually do it in the episode.
Of course I'm going to do it in the episode. My goal is to alienate all of our listeners until no one's left. And I'm doing quite well, I think.
Yeah.
So robots, if you prefer. We wanted to talk about this mainly because there was kind of a cool story and really cool video that came out recently. Mm-hmm. Recently, as of the recording of this podcast, this is on March 23rd. If you guys at home are wondering, because you know, of course, we publish these well after we've recorded them.
Yep.
But the story was about a company called Kiva.
Yes.
Kiva Systems, technically.
Yes.
And Kiva Systems makes robots. They make a warehouse robot system that's all about finding and retrieving inventory using potentially more than 1,000 robots if you were to have a really complex system. Now, most of the systems they've incorporated have been smaller than that.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is really cool. And the reason they're in the news right now is because, I mean, the company's been around since
2003.
Since 2003, in one form or another. It started off with a different name, but anyway, it's been around since 2003. The reason why it's kind of hit the news recently is because another company has acquired Kiva Systems.
Yes, that would be Amazon.com.
Yes, for the princely sum of $775 million. So yes. Just under a billion. Yes. So yeah, this is a big news, and you would think, oh, well, that makes perfect sense that Amazon would go after something like this. Like, they would at least employ a system like this, if not actually go out and acquire it, because, I mean, Amazon's all about warehouse management in order to fulfill customer needs. So.
Yeah, so the company actually was started in 2003, as we said a moment ago, by a guy named Mick Mounts. And he knows a lot about fulfillment. He actually kind of learned the hard way by being part of a company known as Webvan.
So Webvan, for those who don't remember, was an online service where you could actually order groceries online. And this company would go out and fill the orders and deliver them to your door. So that way you didn't have to go out to the grocery store. And this was one of those companies that was expanding very quickly just before the dot-com bubble burst and there was the big crash.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've heard our podcast about the dot-com crash, you've probably heard us talk about Webvan. Part of the problem they had was that the cost for their system was greater than they had originally projected.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were not able to bring in enough revenue to cover their costs. And as a result, the company itself collapsed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Mount seems to be one of those people that learns from experience. Well, that seems like a reasonably good thing to do.
Yeah.
I think it kind of bugged him based on the information that I've picked up on doing the research. And he started thinking, you know what? There's got to be a better way to handle storage and fulfillment. So, he has a very technical background.
Yeah.
I believe, as a matter of fact, he's an MIT graduate.
MIT and Harvard Business School graduate. So he had.
He's probably reasonably well equipped to handle this kind of thing.
So technical and the business background. He also partnered with two other people, Rafaelio D'Andrea. Oh, gosh. Thanks there, Hafi. That's hard for me to say, who was a engineering professor at Cornell and then at ETH, which is the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology.
Yeah, he had led Cornell to several tournament victories in robotics competitions.
Yes, like the Robo Soccer Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had actually helped design robots that were able to accomplish goals in a very efficient way. And so when Mounts was looking for potential folks to work with, D'Andrea became one of the natural people that he should see because of his extensive experience with robotics. And then the third founder is Peter Werman, who is a multi-agent systems expert and a former professor of computer science with North Carolina State University.
Mm-hmm.
So
And I think they were friends first. They didn't. It wasn't a.
Yeah, it wasn't just one of those like,
hey,
see
that
this
guy's
person out.
Good.
Yeah. So these three men were combining their knowledge to try and build out a system of robots that could fill this need of being able to seek out inventory within a warehouse, retrieve it, and bring it back to someone for packaging. So when you're filling an order for a customer, you're working in a warehouse and the order comes in. A customer has asked for a particular kind of DVD player.
Yeah.
And that one DVD player is located on one shelf in this massive warehouse. It takes a lot of time for a human to track down which shelf it is, walk to that section of the warehouse, retrieve it from there, walk back to the shipping department and ship that out. So the idea here is that you would have a robot system where as soon as an order comes in and a person's ready to ship it, that person pushes a button, the robot zooms off exactly to the point where the item is, lifts up that entire shelf, because the robots, if you were to look at these things, they look kind of like Roombas that are on steroids. You know, they're these sort of squarish robots that have rounded corners. And they're low to the ground and, they run on wheels. And so when you look at them, they're not humanoid or anything like that. What they do is they scoot around on the floor underneath the shelves. Mm-hmm. And then, they have a little screw drive that comes up. It lifts a platform up that lifts the shelves off the floor. And in fact, the robot, rotates in an opposite direction of the screw at the same rate so that the platform remains, from the shelf's perspective, stationary. It increases in height, but it does not rotate.
Yeah. Now, if you think about it, this is important because you have a vertical shelf.
Yes.
These are essentially, a rectangular prism. going straight up. So the base of the shelf is square.
Yes.
And is roughly just larger than this robot.
Yeah.
But it goes up and it's got stuff on it. Well, you know, if you have things on the higher shelves, but not necessarily on the lower shelves, that's going to change the center of gravity considerably.
Mm-hmm.
And if this screwdrive didn't have that counter rotation, it could cause the shelf to topple or be unsteady. And the thing is, when I first started getting interested in the Kiva story and was watching the videos, I was thinking, that's so cool watching the little bot outside spin like that. It's really cute. And then I realized that it's being done for a very specific reason. And
yeah.
I went, not only is it cool looking.
It's functional.
It's functional.
Yeah, so it lifts the shelf directly off the floor. And then it will maneuver back to the person who has pushed the button to fill this order. It then shines a laser pointer, essentially, mm-hmm. onto the particular item that needs to be scanned and shipped. And so then the worker would pick up that item, scan it, put it in a box, and tape it up, and then it's ready to be shipped out to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the robot will take the shelf back to where it needs to be. And meanwhile, there's a computer system that's keeping track of all of these movements. It's not just the movements of the robots, but where the shelves are currently located, what orders have gone out, and sort of an inventory control system.
Yeah.
So you've got multiple layers of software here. You've got a certain layer of software that's in the robot. You have a certain layer of software that's in the worker station where they are filling out orders. And then you have the overall system. You have layers in there as well. And there's a lot of overlap so that robots don't need to know necessarily everything every other robot's doing. But the system does.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is if you've got hundreds of robots all going through this warehouse filling out orders, then there's a lot of potential for collisions, which would be a bad thing. You don't want, like, oh, there's this one robot carrying a shelf full of snow globes and this other robot carrying a shelf full of DVDs and this other robot carrying a shelf full of paint guns and the three of them converge and then you have a combo that just doesn't work even in a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup kind of universe. So
yeah, it's sort of like a robot in a china shop.
Yeah, it really is. So the system has to keep track of where all the robots are, and the robots have various ways of detecting what other robots are nearby, so that way they can all move through and reach their goals without colliding with one another. And it's actually, if you watch the videos, it's captivating to see how these robots will move within 15 centimeters of one another, get so close to each other, and yet they'll stop in enough time, allow one to go through, and the next one will pass on. And you multiply that by 100, and it's just phenomenal to see this kind of. It's almost like a beautiful ballet.
Well, one of the things too that the computer system is doing to handle this is it's not just inventory control; it's traffic control as well.
Yeah.
But the bots also have a part in this. Now, if you haven't seen this yet, and you're going to go check out a video, you might have this picture in your head of a lot of robotic carried shelves running around willy nilly. Well, that's not exactly the way it works. If you look at the videos closely, or even if you don't, you could see there are patterns on the floor.
Yeah.
And you might say, you know, well, you know, they kind of look like tracks, but they're not tracks. Not in the sense of a railroad.
Right.
Sort of system or
tracks,
conveyor belt.
They're not tracks that are embedded in the floor that the robots must follow.
Right. Which is kind of interesting too, because, you know, something like that would dramatically increase the cost of installing a system like this. Instead, it's an optical system. It basically has barcodes, if you will, in the different pathways that are painted onto the floor or however they are attached. I'm not sure exactly how they are imprinted on the floor. Anyway, the robots have a scanning system built into the bottoms of them, so they know the control system can tell them what path to follow. You know,
right.
Get on track number two because there's another robot coming back this way on track number one, and it tells it how far to go over and exactly where to go. And it's also very cool to watch the human employees engage with this system because, unlike past inventory systems where a worker would have to walk down rows of shelves to retrieve a particular item or to if something comes back to put the item back where it belongs, the shelves come to them.
Yeah.
So they are standing at their workstation ready to package things up. And it's very – actually, I don't know if you've watched any of these videos, these particular videos, not just the traffic stuff. It's actually kind of creepy because the employee will take off a box and will scan it with a little handheld laser scanner and put it down on their station. And the shelf will just drive off. Yeah. And the next one will move over to the shelf space at their station and wait for them to scan the item that, that belongs in the package. So, you know, the person will put in the package and tape it up and put the label on it and send it down the conveyor to shipping. And then, you know, this next box comes up, they'll scan it, and the shelf drives off on its own. And the same thing, too, for returns. The shelf drives up, they'll scan an item, put it on the shelf, and the shelf drives off. It's really kind of weird. But the employees that I saw interviewed said it's much less taxing, and they can get far more work done because they're retrieving more items or putting more items back on the shelf, and they don't have to do nearly as much work to achieve that.
Right.
Because the shelves themselves are doing the work.
Yeah, and currently the robots the regular production model can carry up to 454 kilograms, which is 1,000 pounds.
That's a lot of weight.
It's a lot of weight. But it's still, they're working, they have other prototype models that can carry much more than that because depending on what you're shipping around, it may be. Like, for example, a warehouse that has lots of masonry in it, it's going to be really lots of heavy pallets and shelves and stuff. You'd have to have a robot capable of carrying much more than 1,000 pounds in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
These robots do increase efficiency. I saw some projections that suggested that a factory that uses conveyor belts and you know, more conventional systems to mm-hmm. get materials to the people who need to ship them out, that it might take for a typical warehouse something like 75 workers to be able to carry out the orders, a certain number of orders in a certain amount of time. But in using this system, it'd be more like 25.
Mm-hmm.
So you've just reduced the need of your workforce significantly and by 50 people, which means savings for the company. This also brings us to another discussion that always comes up when we talk about industrialization and, mm-hmm. and automation and robots in particular, which is the concern that these systems will replace human beings and reduce the need for human workers, thus, in a way, contributing to the unemployment rate.
Right.
Which is a legitimate concern. I mean, there is a legitimate concern that there are certain systems involved that will reduce the need for people to work, and therefore more people will be out of work. Now, this is a story that has been with us since the dawn of the industrialization age. You've heard Chris talk about the sabot,
yes.
the wooden shoes being thrown into a loom in order to sabotage the loom, because these looms were somewhat, you know, not automated in the sense that we think about today, but they were following a program and were reducing the needs of a skilled weaver. So that, you know, you could have a semi-unskilled worker run this machine and they could produce the same sort of quality of work that a skilled weaver could. That raised concerns back in pre-industrial Europe. Well, that we've seen that whole story unfold throughout the eras of industry. And there's been some people who say, sure, it's going to take over those manufacturing jobs, but then there are going to be more jobs opened up because you're going to have people who need to make the robots and repair the robots, which is true, but it's not a one-to-one. First of all, the skill set you need to work on a factory floor and the skill set you need to maintain or build a robot are dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that someone can't master both sets of skills, but it's not like it's automatically transferable.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, you don't need as many people building out or maintaining robots as you would to maintain, the number of people you need to maintain or build the robots for a warehouse of robots is fewer than the number of workers you would have if there are no robots at all.
Right.
For that same warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, you still have people who are not going to have work, at least not in that warehouse. So what this really brings to light is that there needs to be a focus in the education phase to make sure that whatever education you are getting is going to be something that is usable in the workforce, because the skill sets that the workforce is looking for may be dramatically different than what are being offered within the education system.
Mm-hmm.
So the burden of responsibility falls on not just the students, but the education system itself. Because we have these education systems out there that are not necessarily offering the same sort of courses that would be useful to a person once they graduate to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because the education system is not terribly nimble. It's an institution, and institutions have a lot of inertia.
Gasp.
It's really hard to get them to respond quickly to changing situations, because that's just not in their nature. So we do have this issue of robots potentially taking away jobs. And even jobs like, not just with the Kiva systems. I mean, that's one element, right? But this goes across all kinds of industries, not just warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen other industries also affected by this. So you've got that concern. Well, hopefully the ideal outcome is that people will be able to start focusing on the types of skills that robots really aren't designed to handle,
mm-hmm.
and that there will still be plenty of work to go around. It's just that there has to be a new focus on the type of work that you can pursue. It really starts to hit people who may not have a lot of formal education.
Right.
They are at the greatest disadvantage in that their jobs, depending on what industry they're in, their jobs may be one of the jobs that are easily converted to robotics. And they are not, they don't have a background in education where they can easily switch gears.
Mm-hmm.
So we're probably going to see continued bouts of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
and doubt. Might as well throw fear in there too, get the whole FUD in there. And there's probably going to be some rocky travels between now and when we reach our idyllic civilization where the robots cater to our every need and we don't even have money anymore.
Adrian, you said rocky.
Okay. Well, also, you know, if you remember in the documentary Rocky III, they do have a robot. They buy a robot in Rocky.
I forgot about that.
And it, you know, the uncle gets to play with a robot. It always brings him a frosty beverage.
Yes.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Anyway, so
but, I mean, yeah, they're Kiva's by far not the only company to be building equipment like this.
That's true.
And one of the I've seen several. I'm fascinated by industrial machinery type programs, and there are many on our parent company's networks.
Yes,
where they make stuff and store stuff, and I just find it fascinating to see. But one of the advantages of the Kiva system is that it is able to store things in a far more dense fashion, therefore making the most of warehouse space. And it does that on a horizontal plane, because really these shelves are built and they can be configured in a number of varieties, you know, depending on what the customer needs.
Yeah.
But the shelves are all the same, more or less, for these robots. However, I have seen warehouses that are very, very tall, and they have rigid shelving, and they're robotic systems that can travel horizontally and then vertically up to a bin that could be stories high, and lifts it off with a forklift. You know, they have optical readers, very much the same as the Kiva systems do, where there are codes on the bins, and it can scan the code and say, okay, well, the bin in A14 level 6 is the one that I need, and it goes up, and with the little forklift, it, you know, pulls out the bin and moves the parts down to the assembly line. And I find that completely fascinating.
Yeah.
But really, that maximizes the use of the human workers that are there. I think there is a trade-off to be made, because these systems do make the work a lot less taxing, mm-hmm. for those people, and it does give them an opportunity to be more productive at their jobs, which I think at least for some people would be more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Also, the robots, especially in the in the Kiva systems, because, you know, I'd done primarily that research for this. For this podcast, the systems are more quiet than the conveyor belt systems.
Yeah.
Some of the employees that they interviewed for one of the news reports said that whereas before in the conveyor areas, they used to have to shout to make themselves heard when they needed to, you know, talk to one another. In the robotics room, they basically can talk in a normal voice. There are fewer injuries, which also seems like it would be a boon for employees.
That of course only applies so long as the robots don't develop sentience and decide to kill all humans.
And
but if they follow the laws of robotics, we should be pretty much all right.
All right. And there's a better climate control too, which is a cost savings. Hopefully they will pass the savings on to the workers.
Well, that's
starting to scare me a little bit here.
The thing is, the efficiencies and the, you know, as you improve efficiencies, then ideally, that means you can either do one of two things. You keep mm-hmm. prices the same and your profit margins go up, or you reduce prices and you pass the savings on mm-hmm. to everyone else.
Right.
But, it all depends on how the company works. But, yeah, I mean, these systems are, in general, I think they're a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
In the short term, they're definitely going to be something that could potentially cause a lot of upheaval. Mm-hmm. But in the long term, I think that it's, you know, it's definitely a benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. By the way, in case you were wondering, although Amazon did make this purchase, and it's unclear whether they are going to continue to allow other competitors to buy these systems at this point, because it is a pretty new deal.
I would imagine they would continue just because it would be another stream of revenue. But
yeah. Well, you know, they're
you never
a pretty
know.
Smart company, but who knows? They might say this is – well, in which case it gives an opportunity to a competitor.
Right, to come out with their own system and
exactly.
cater to everyone else.
People like Toys R Us and Timberland, several Amazon subsidiaries have been using these devices for quite some time, like Quidsy, which owns Wag.com, which is a pet food company, and Diapers.com and Soap.com, plus Zappos.
Yep.
And they also
– I think Walgreens was using it as well.
Walgreens uses it, Crate and Barrel, Staples.
Oh, Staples.
Oh, I always wondered about that.
Yeah, Staples next to the Target.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The Gap, Saks Fifth Avenue. You have to mind the Gap.
Yes, especially if you're in the UK.
So they already had a pretty good client base. Really that princely sum, when you think about it, is of $775 million. That was the second highest Amazon acquisition, after Zappos, which it, picked up for $847 million. But, Amazon has said that they're going to, bring their total of warehouses up to 69, opening 17 new warehouses. So this acquisition over the long haul is going to save the company quite a bit of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if they can build out their warehouses with this technology instead of retrofitting older installations.
Right, right. Yeah, building it out with it in mind so that they maximize that efficiency. And then they'll definitely benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, do you know what company built the very first industrial robot?
The very first industrial robot?
Yeah.
Was it Honda?
No. Unimation.
Unimation.
In 1956. They were developed from – there was a fellow named George DeVol, mm-hmm, who created the patents for a automated robotic system. And these were using hydraulics that would pass very heavy objects from one point to another that were 12 feet apart from each other.
Hmm.
So kind of the great-great-granddaddy of the Kiva Systems robots.
Yeah.
They also bring heavy things to you.
Well, I love watching this equipment, and especially the a lot of the manufacturing robots, which is a little different from these logistics machines. But the ones that use the suction cups.
Yeah.
And they'll pick up, say, a very heavy car part or a piece of a prefab house or something like that. And they'll just lift it and move it around like it's nothing.
Which is why when they turn on us, we have no hope.
Oh, jeez.
So on that,
I'm done.
On that happy
I'm
note.
I'm out of here.
On that happy note, yeah. On that happy note, we're going to there goes Chris. We're going to wrap this up. So, guys, if you have any discussions, you have something that you think we should cover, let us know. Let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is TechStuff, HSW. Or you can always send us an email. Our email address is TechStuff@discovery.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.